Welcome all board members. Take a seat at the table because it's time for another Faction Focus report by Boardroom Gamer. Hey everyone, our Faction Focus continues with Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. Today we talk about the Orcs. After her failed first attempt to preside over Ogmore, the bloody divinity Ogta schemed again to lay claim to the land. Opening the ancient battle wounds beset by Norelia, the goddess of the mystic elves, Ogta bled from the heavens, coating the world in a thick, crimson rain for a single day and night. The blood rain soaked deep into the earth, penetrating the very center of the world. From gore-sodden brimstone rose the repugnant orcs. It is the self-proclaimed right of the orcs to rule over every last scrap of land touched by their mother's precious lifeblood. The orcs look with disdain upon the pitiful beings resting comfortably along their once undisputed borders. Is it possible that they have forgotten the savage weight with which orcish steel carves through muscle and sinew? They will be made to remember. The orcs march forth, driven by honor and glory through the rigors of battle. No worthy foe, neither foreign nor domestic, goes unchallenged. It is said that orcs do not cry when they're born, but instead herald their arrival with a blood-curdling shriek, which deepens with every vanquished rival. Perhaps it was the thunderous roar of the battle-hardened orcish warmongers that first commanded the attention of the dragons. The two races, long separate, have found in each other a burning seed of violence. Now, in alliance, orcish footsteps fall to the beat of dragon wings, forging a symphony that inspires greater terror than the very calamity of Hell's open maw. Those that do not flee will crumble under the indomitable force of an orc army, exterminated as is the fate of all decrepit pests. For those that do flee, few shadows and crevices remain in which to hide from the rain of the orcs' thirsting blades. Soon, there will be no opponent nor territory in all of Ogmore that does not lie under the heavy boot of the blood-bred orcs. Now, Ogta is a name we've heard before. If you recall the introduction to the dwarves, it is she that, out of jealousy of Norelia and her elven creation, decided to create the dwarves from celestial ores. You can check out the full backstory on our dwarf episode of Faction Focus. Back to the orcs. Let's check out their buildings and their heroes. The five orcish buildings are the barracks, the blood tent, the pit arena, and as usual, a sea dock and air spire. Let's start with the barracks. A level 1 barracks allows your warriors to march +1 to start a battle. They are more than eager to start a fight and are willing to run headfirst into the fray. At level 2, the barracks provides your warriors with +1 strength, so now they run faster to the fight and fight stronger to boot. At level 3, the barracks states, if a warrior wins in a battle, you may instantly change it into a hero. Essentially, they level up on the battlefield. Too cool. Now, the barracks allows you to recruit Chieftain Korgok. Korgok, like his ancestors before him, walks with the strength of a titan. He carries a battering ram forged from a tree stump that he tore from the earth to beat his first noble to death. His climb to leadership may have cost him one good eye, but the other one can still clearly target the castle walls of his enemies. Level 1 Korgok gets +1 strength if he's against an army that contains at least one serf, clearly preying on the weak. Level 2 Korgok takes that battering ram of his and uses it to gain +1 strength against towers and capital cities. Level 3, Korgok grants the orc player one additional victory point when he attacks a tower or capital city, so using him as a siege weapon will definitely be in your best interest. Next building's kind of different. It's called the Blood Tent. Now this thing is nuts. At level 1, the Blood Tent, prior to tactic cards being revealed, but already chosen, allows you to pay 2 mana to change one serf in the battle to a warrior. And should you win that fight and have a level 3 barracks, remember, that warrior can then become a hero, a real rags-to-riches story. Level 2, the Blood Tent gives your serfs +1 strength in a battle up to 5 maximum. Not that I normally see a 5 serf army, but heck, with orcs, one might just see that. A level 3 Blood Tent gives the orc player one victory point at the end of the game for every continent that has at least one orc unit on it. So basically, sprawl across the world is the way to go with that Blood Tent. Now the Blood Tent brings with it the ability to recruit the Shaman Gorzok. Gorzok etches his dark symbol into the tongues of poor victims of his blood magic and stores them in his grimoire of gore. Pain and anguish lingers in its pages, for these rotting remnants provide an unholy energy which he channels into his minions as a lust for battle. Level 1 Gorzok makes your opponents discard 2 resources of their choice before the fight begins. This can have a serious impact on the outcome as they may have banked on a spell or a certain tactic card. Level 2, if Gorzok loses a battle, you may pay 2 mana to gain +2 strength if it allows you to instead win that battle. So he summons whatever energy he can to turn the loss into a win. Level 3, Gorzok goes out in a blaze of honor and glory. If he's destroyed, you may immediately destroy any one unit in the enemy army that's in the same region. If I'm going to hell, you're coming with me. Pretty much his battle cry. Now let's talk about that pit arena. At level 1, the pit arena gives every pair of serfs +1 strength when they're attacking. This differs a bit from the blood tent as it only applies while on the attack and only in pairs. At level 2, the pit arena rewards your serfs that win a battle with 1 ore and 1 mana. Again, going to battle with serfs seems like a common thing among the orcs here. Level 3, the pit arena bolsters the defense of a lone serf by +2 strength. So in the case you have 2 serfs, you could pay the 2 mana from the blood tent ability to change one to a warrior. And if you win that fight, you can turn that warrior into a hero, thus leaving behind a lone serf who would then gain 2 strength to defend the newly won territory. The pit arena allows the orc player to recruit the berserker Umog. Now, Umog's real name is unpronounceable outside her orc clan, but her battle cry unnerves even the most steely warriors. Her volatile and unpredictable behavior thwarts all strategy, and the piles of corpses on the sand floor of the arena are a grim reminder of her rage. Her mission to avenge her family, separated and sold into labor camps, has left many enemies in constant dread of one day meeting this ferocious demon. At level 1, Umog denies your opponent the use of their barricade tactic card when she attacks. You must announce this prior to battle. Level 2, when Umog wins a battle, you may march her army into yet another battle, only usable once per turn, and she'll suffer a -2 strength penalty as a result. And once she's level 3, she'll no longer suffer the -2 strength penalty from that level 2 ability. Essentially, an absolute wrecking machine has hit the table when Umog gets into play. Now the sea and air vessels. The sea dock allows you to build the war croc. That's right, orcs ride on the back of war crocodiles. Boats are for lesser folk. At level 1, the crocodile says when it ends a sail action on a shore region, it may then move one land region if it results in a battle, after which it goes back to the water it entered from. Come on, croc, there's a fight to be had and you're invited. Level 2 goes along with level 1 ability. When you use the level 1 ability to move inland, the croc also generates 2 resources of your choice on the way prior to tactic cards being revealed. And at max level 3, the war croc gets fully buffed and gains +2 strength when fighting inland. Basically, there's zero upside to fighting on the shore with the war croc. The air vehicle is a dragon. I mean, come on, a friggin' dragon. Let's ride, baby! A level 1 dragon, when attacking, will eat. Yes, the rule says eats one enemy serf prior to tactic cards being revealed. At level 2, when the dragon wins the battle, 1 food resource is gained for every enemy unit destroyed. What was now yours belongs to the orc. And I assume they plan to, eat them? And a level 3 dragon that eats by using its level 1 ability gains +3 strength for a grand total of 5 strength. Fly that dragon into an army of serfs, eat one, get stronger, bank the rest for food later. Wow, wow, wow. Orcs go out, serfs ablazing. Build that sea dock, build the air spire, build the pit arena. That would be my strategy. If you want a more warrior heavy build, swap the pit arena for the barracks, but keep that dang croc and that frickin' dragon. Those guys mean business. When you get to level 3 with those buildings, you'll be sure to put one heck of a fight up when you play with the orcs in Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. That's going to wrap up another faction focus episode for Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. Our next episode, we dive into the first expansion, Order in Chaos, as we talk about the great predators, the Lionkin.